Hey there, friends. Welcome to Spitefully Yours with me, Andrea Welker, your resident healthcare advocate. I invite you to join me as we discuss healthcare and the patient experience in a post-COVID world. Get ready for captivating conversations about health, wellness, patient advocacy, and everything in between. Let's redefine what finding good health means together. Listener discretion is advised. Well, hey there, Spite Squad. Well, today, as you can see, the show is a bit different than previous episodes because via the power of the internet, good luck, and a little bit of spite, I sat down with award-winning actor, TV host, and all-around good human, Jack Maxwell. What you may know about him is his impressive resume. Jack is beloved the world over for his amazing four seasons as the Travel Channel's one and only booze traveler, and he's the host of American Homecoming. As an actor, he's had guest roles on House, Beverly Hills 90210, Lost, 24 Without a Trace, The Unit, and other phenomenal shows. But what you may not know is that Jack is also a cancer survivor. And today he shares his story and amazing philosophy with us. I want to thank Jack for his tremendous kindness in letting me interview him and sharing his amazing story with us. Let's listen now.
Had your own health journey. Would you mind summarizing it just a little bit for our listeners?
Sure. I don't mind at all. April 2016, I went for a routine checkup, and they found a spot that shouldn't be there. And they said, come back in. We have to do a little closer look at this. And they did, and my abdomen was riddled with some kind of cancer. They weren't sure, so I had to do a biopsy soon after. They took a lymph node out of my back and confirmed that it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then I started treatment the following year because I was in a pretty good place. I hadn't had really symptoms to speak of. When the doctor asked me, well, are you experiencing any kind of concern about your symptoms? I said, well, what would they be like? Well, you're tired all the time, your limbs hurt, you wake up in the middle of the night, you have headaches. I said, yeah, welcome to booze traveler. Because when I was traveling around the world and drinking crazy stuff and fun stuff and having a great time, some of those things happened. He laughed, of course, and he said, yes, of course, I know your show. I didn't want to say anything until you brought it up. But yeah, that's probably similar things. That's why you didn't know you had cancer. Anyway, it was slow growing it up and wasn't affecting me too much. I waited until I had a hiatus after the next season, and then I went into chemotherapy.
Wow. What a journey. You know, that sounds like something that would really, you know, here you are kind of at the height of where you're at, you know. Did you have a moment during that time where, you know, you thought, like, what am I even doing? Like, are things okay? You know, how do I navigate? You know, was it overwhelming at all? Did you find, you know, that when you're seeing all these doctors and doing all these appointments, did it feel overwhelming? And what way did you cope with it? What helped you cope with all of it?
Well, to be honest, it's how you start out with it. And, you know, to really be completely straight with you, it never really overwhelmed me. And I don't know why. It's not that I'm such a tough guy or a hero. It just never did. Right from the beginning, I said, oh, I have cancer? Okay, well, what do we have to do? I looked at it more like a speed bump than a roadblock, to be honest. Right from the beginning. And I told myself, right, I've had this time going around the world on all these adventures, very much an external aesthetic journey. And now my journey is inward. It will require strength and perseverance and discipline, much like the other one did, but just in a different way. So I just saw it as a new journey with the ultimate goal of gaining my health back, if that were to be possible. But when you say, how are you okay? You have to be okay. You can't not be okay. Because sometimes how you look at it, or many times, how you look at something determines it. It's not what the thing is or what might happen, because we never know. It's being so present in the moment that you find something right now, right here, to be grateful for, and then that gets you through. And that's honestly what happened with me. I thought, well, okay, I'll probably have to stop doing the show when I went into chemo, and I did have to stop doing it, and it just never came back. But my health came back, and that's job one, is to stay alive, right? So I can always get another show, perhaps, or do other things, or have other adventures or travels. But once your life is gone, it's gone. And I knew then that to feel sorry for myself or to be down wasn't going to help my cause. And it was all about staying positive, not for myself and for my own recovery, but for everybody who loved me and felt sad that I was going through this. And I didn't want them to feel that either. It's not like I was putting on a brave face just to do it. But why wallow in the misery and the pain? Sure, it's an inconvenience. It's the most fun thing. But you can always find something in your life, a reason to go on. Never give up.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, it's funny because when you are in that moment where it's just you and what you're fighting, you know, you have everyone around you, you have this support, and people are wonderful for the support that they give, but you have this moment where you think, okay, this is it. Time to lace the boots up and go to war, you know, and you're trying to figure out what you're fighting at the same time, even though you know it has a name. And I think that
was specific. I knew I had cancer. I knew what kind it was, but I wasn't going to get so into the weeds that I came up with 100 item protocol. Do this, don't do that. No, it's an overall thing. Because I was very happy to be here, to be going, whatever it was, going through it, it didn't matter. The doctor said, here's what we do. That was enough for me because, you know, you can take the opposite approach. You can Google all your symptoms and what you have, the last 100 years of treatments for it and how many people died from it and everything else. I just think it gets yourself so upset, so tense, anxiety ridden over the whole thing. It just makes it worse. For me, it's just a challenge to overcome. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer, what I had, what kind of thing was standing in front of me. I just wanted to get better. And I did everything I could to make sure I got better, staying positive and upbeat and happy the whole time. And not, again, not in a false way, because honestly, this thing that took my health, took my savings, took my TV show, gave me wonderful gifts as well. It showed me how strong I am, how much that I can persevere through this. It brought people into my life who either weren't there before, who became part of my support group, or people in my life, it showed who was going to step up and really be there for me when I needed them, as opposed to just because they liked my show or just were casual friends. These were really good people that reached out and said, hey, whatever I can do for you. And that's a wonderful feeling.
That is so true. And there are times even in my own journey where I've had people reach out to me like that. And it's always people that you never think, you know, that you never think are going to reach out. Or it's people that, you know, maybe sometimes you haven't talked to them and they, you know, in 20 or 30 years, and they just happen to pop back in your life in just an instant. And it's right the moment that you need them there. Do you think that that kind of effect occurs when you really have, you know, like when you have that kind of journey that you're going through, do you think people come into your life for a reason like that? Do you think there's a universal timing that makes it happen? No. Like part of...
No, not at all. The universe is kind. They send us kinds of signs and warnings and mm-hmm. No, you take from it what you will. There are signs. You can see signs everywhere. You know, I did a play called Salome back in the day, and the queen says, I don't believe in miracles. I've seen too many of them. So, you know, you can say the same thing about signs. You can interpret anything any way you want to. One person can interpret it to say it means keep going. The other one says, no, that means stop. And I don't want to rely on too much other than my instinct, my character, my heart, my experience in life, as opposed to I saw a billboard, so it means something, or a stick in the dirt was pointed a certain way, or a dog blinked his eye at me, that means something. Yeah. I just think that we're all looking for meaning in life, but it's best to find it through our life experiences. You know, I think that's a very important word. I've always tried to be experiential with things as opposed to just in my brain thinking how they are. I want to explore for myself. That's where the real joy is. So whether people came into my life or not, some people weren't there that I thought might be, but I think expectations, they say, resentment's in training. You can't expect outcomes. You can't expect people to act a certain way all the time or the way you would act. You're going to be disappointed. So I just did as I felt, as I saw was best. The people who were there, wonderful. The people who weren't, also wonderful, because they had their own reason. Who knows what they're going through? It's okay. Everything sorts itself out in the end. And as long as you can see clearly, then that is a gift. You understand who's there, who's not, what you have to do to get better, you do it, and you move on with this beautiful, wonderful gift called life.
I love it. So what does good health look like to you now?
Oh, well, it starts on the inside. It's not about blood test or a workup or an x-ray or an MRI. It's how you look at things. To me, that's the beginning of health, whether you want to call it mental health, psychological health, the health of your soul, anything. And I think when you wake up with a reason, with a passion for being alive, that means you're healthy. That's the opposite of depression, which is a real thing. I know people suffer from it. I have to say gratefully that I'm glad I haven't. And you know, they say, it's funny, depression is you're living in the past, anxiety, you're worried about the future. And I think since I started being really present, just in this moment, right now, you and I talking, is all that's real. The past is just a memory, or a memory of a memory. The future, a hope, a dream, an expectation, whatever it is, it's not even here yet. So to be in the moment is the greatest gift. That's what health is. To me, to be present and in the moment always, I think I feel my best, regardless of whether my back hurts because I'm getting old or I slept on my neck wrong and it hurts. That means nothing. Those are just physical little things. As long as my heart and my soul feel good, and I don't mean my heart in a cardiovascular way, I just mean if I'm doing the right thing and people I love are around and they know I love them and I know they love me, that's everything.
Well, I'll drink to that.
Cheers. I can't have a drink with you. I'm driving, but next time I raise one, I'll drink to that.
Let's do that. So I know that you've had Booze Traveler, and I know you have had I Don't Drink Alone. Please, please tell our listeners what you're up to lately so they can check it out.
Sure. The show on television right now, I shot a pilot that I created called Serious Quest, which is much like Booze Traveler, if you're familiar with that, which ran on Travel Channel for 4 years. I also did a show for veterans to help them when they come home from the war, whether it's in a wheelchair or some kind of, even if it's PTSD, whatever it is, whatever the affliction that they receive serving their country, we go to their home and we redo it. If they're in a wheelchair, we pull out steps and put in ramps. We have a desk that raises up and down for the wheelchair to fit in. We tear out tubs and put in showers. We also repaint it and put up wallpaper and art to give them just a little semblance of their independence that they lost fighting for our freedom. And I think it's real important. So I have those two shows out there. I also just wrote a script. I'm lining up some really wonderful actors. Hopefully we'll shoot that soon. And I've done what's called a sizzle reel, which is the equivalent of a trailer for a movie. It's an idea for a TV show I had with a couple of friends. So we're about to shoot that. And so it's always about expressing myself, being creative, living in what it is I do, and moving forward and not looking back. But because then that's where the trouble starts. You start getting nostalgic for something. It's okay to be nostalgic, but to live in it, to wallow in it, is never good. To worry about the future that you don't know is going to happen, or whether it happens at all. To me, you know, most of the things you worry about never do happen. And if they do, they're hardly as bad as you thought they were. So why torture yourself that way?
Well said. Thank you, Jack, so much for coming onto the show. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Andrea. It's my pleasure. Best of luck with everything. Thanks for having me on. And if anyone wants to say hi or stay in touch or ask what I'm doing in the future, I can be found on Instagram and Twitter. Selfie Jack is my handle. That's SoutheJack.
That's perfect. And I'm going to be sure to just, again, say thank you so much, because there are so many people who are in various stages of their health journeys. They are in various stages of recovery. You know, they've been through everything, and I think your words will really comfort them. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday.
Oh, I'm very happy to do so, Andrea. Thanks for having me on. And best of luck.
Thank you so much. And I just have one more question for you. And
sure.
It's from my husband, who is a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
He wants to know, what is your favorite drink?
Oh, that's such a good question. And, you know, it all depends who I'm with and where I am. It's really about a mood thing, you know. As I've said before, we eat to sustain our bodies, but we drink drinks, cocktails, to sustain our soul. Clearly, alcohol is not known as something that's good for your body, but you can't have a good body if you don't have a healthy soul. So if I'm with friends, it might be one thing. If I'm by myself or in a location, it might be other. But some of the cocktails that I like, and I'm a cocktails guy, I love the alchemy of putting things together, the mixology. It's a wonderful art. Although I like a nice craft beer or good wine, but some of my favorite cocktails, a pisco sour I had in Peru was just so memorable. I had a wonderful mojito in Havana, Cuba, on top of a hotel there at sundown. So it's the complete aesthetic. It's never just a taste of the liquid or the spirit. In Oaxaca, I had a great mezcal and just surrounded by everything that was going on. To me, that's truly the answer, is I don't have one single go-to. And mostly because I was so blessed with this show that really expanded my horizons, my palate. It showed me there's so much more out there. So how can I just go to one more often than others when there's just so much to absorb, so much to experience? Why not try it all? Open up your mind a little bit. You'll never know. For instance, whatever your favorite anything is, you had to try it for the first time. You never knew it was going to be. So maybe you'll find more favorites, or you'll find more things that turn you on, that inspire you, that tried your imagination. So why not try things? That's what life's about.
That is what life's about. I'll tell you real quick. I was sitting in Portugal and watching the sunset with some friends over a bottle of wine. And I was so grateful, first of all, that wine was so cheap. it was like $3 a bottle. I don't know. But just that moment it was good for the soul. Maybe just as much as that glass of wine was, you know?
Sure. It's the whole thing, isn't it? Who you're with, what you're doing, how you feel. You know, in Portugal, I had just wonderful port sailing down the Douro River. And so even if I tried to replicate that, I never could. I could have some port, and I like the taste, but it brings me back. So I guess I drink things that I can find from the show, because it brings me back to these wonderful people and places who shared their food, their friends, their families, their drinks with me. And I just couldn't be more grateful about it all.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, if you're ever in Virginia, look us up and we'll buy you a drink.
Sounds good.
Southie Jack, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. So, so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Again, our guest today has been Jack Maxwell, and if you'd like to contact Jack or learn more about his work, you can find links to his info in the show notes. Thanks so much, Jack, for coming on the show, for allowing me to interview you, and for providing our listeners with a much-needed perspective. And if you'd like to learn more about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you can visit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society link in our show notes. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you next time. Well, Spite Squad, that's the show today. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share to spread the message of health and wellness advocacy. If you'd like to support my mission, you can contribute via the links in the episode description. You can visit my website, inspitewetrust.com, for more information. Together, let's continue redefining what good health means. Until next time, stay empowered, stay spiteful, and keep pissing people off. I'll see you next time.